Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the base number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz. We want to shout out Connie Chan for making it to the top two, and fuck Scott Wiener.
Fuck Scott Wiener.
Hopefully all the Choicot votes pop over to Connie, and then maybe we can squeeze out some Wiener votes over to her as well. Squeeze out some Wiener votes? Is that like a total gross thing? I don't know if they've officially called Prop D, but last I checked, it was losing, which is a real shit show.
But at least C was losing too.
Well, yeah, I know. C is called as like a no.
Thank God.
Bye. But we do need D. We got to tax these corporations.
We need D and we need to squeeze out Wiener.
Jesus Christ. It is Pride Month, apparently. Whatever any of this.
I don't know what's going on. D is not gay.
It is coming from you.
That I need D? It's like a huge turn away from the queer community. Not really, though.
I mean, I don't know.
Things are very fluid right now.
D could be any number of things, too.
A dessert recipe.
A dinosaur.
Great. All right. Well, glad we got...
A dimmed light bulb.
There we go. Really good, Maysoon.
There we go. Working it out.
We went to the closing...
Anything else on the election?
Oh, right.
It's always the election where, like, everyone I vote for doesn't win.
Nothing.
No one I vote for wins. I'm like, oh, here we go again. All of Lurie's incumbents or all of his people won. Like, it's just like a constant uphill battle that we must stay energized for. Because it's going to keep going. There's another election in November, people. So don't lose hope or lose sight.
Don't lose sight. Eyes on the prize.
Eyes on the prize. They can lose hope, though?
No, don't lose hope. Okay. You've got to hang on to hope, people. I'm just trying to, now I'm grasping at straws, trying to think of something hopeful from this election.
Well, Connie Chan. I think that's our only big hope, honestly. I mean, if Steyer makes it through,
there was some
that could be decent. Lots of people I talked to were able to make sense of him. So Becerra, I know, is like a total shit show.
Between
Becerra, get that guy out for sure. There were 65 candidates for governor,
including what was that guy's name? Love of God and Country, DeMott.
Oh God, how about the like Barack Obama was Shaw? In there? I know. I was like, oh, someone's trying to make.
Is that good, what?
Someone's trying to get some points off of that name.
It's like when in the phone book, people would name their company like A1 Plumbing, just so it'd be first and alphabetical.
Yeah,
it's like that
because people are actually reading the phone book from
because you're just like, okay, I need plumbing. Let me go to the plumbing section first one on the list.
Was there a plumbing section?
I think it was broken down by business.
I don't remember. That would make sense. Oh, because the white pages were like individuals.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow pages were businesses. You're right. Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Thank you. Thank
you. It's been a while since I've looked at a phone book.
We had phone books.
You remember when they used to get delivered? Yeah. Every household would get them. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing that. And it was just sort of like you could find them at phone booths or something. I don't remember how it worked, but.
What a world.
What a world.
Okay. Anything else on the election?
That's it. Good job.
I can't believe Megan Adams didn't get controller.
She didn't get controller. Was she anywhere near?
In my own world.
That is what we were talking about this week. Like, we're surrounded by people who are all talking about the same thing, and everyone's voting for the same. We're like, oh, yeah, they're like, surely they must have a fighting chance, right? Everyone I'm talking to is voting for them.
Yes.
And then you see the election, like, oh, they got 25%
less
of the vote. You're
1%.
Like, okay, I guess no one.
Yeah, Ramsey Robinson got like 1%.
Did he get like 5,000 votes or something?
More than that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good job, Ramsey Robinson.
I think the person who got absolute last place in the governor's race got like 300 votes. It was a guy just doing his own thing. He was legit. Well, not really, but like his policies platform seemed fine.
Okay.
His name was Sergey. I forget his last name, but I looked up his Instagram.
Did you look up everyone? Or you just
no,
cause
I was
you're
just
curious
like, last
about the last
place.
Vote.
Let's see who you are. I'm just like, I was a little nervous that people were going to get mad at us for not endorsing someone. Yeah, a little more, who was polling a little better. But now that I know that, like, it had absolutely no effect on anything,
Well, I don't know if that's true.
You could take all of Ramsey Robinson's votes and give them to Tom Steyer, and it wouldn't.
It wouldn't have gotten him to the second position?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean,
so
the thing is, there were 65 candidates, so all those votes were spread out ridiculously. Are you doing
my
okay?
My tongue and my shoes all messed up.
There we go, tongues.
Oh, God, Mason, you're all over it. Okay, here's the real truth.
Why don't you just take your shoe off and redo
it? Oh, you don't want that.
I imagine you're wearing clean socks and washed your feet today. Do you wash your feet?
I do.
Great.
I'm washing it all. I'm in the bathtub.
I'm washing everything. Oh, yeah, you are. I love it. Kate's
soaking
emerged.
All. I'm
submerged.
Scrubbing down. I got harsh scrubbing.
Do you have like baby skin?
No.
It's like so soft and smooth.
Nasty skin. Let's not talk about
Let's
it.
Let's stop.
Okay.
Great.
So that's the election. And we're going to say case closed on that.
I'm going to score that election.
Oh.
My goodness gracious.
I'm going to give that election a
I'm giving
one
it like
out of
five
ten.
Feet under.
Oh, damn. Only five, though. Not
yeah,
six.
Yeah, not totally dead.
Yeah.
Almost dead.
It's being lowered. It's still being lowered into the grave. Okay. So then we went to the closing for Southern Exposure's.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was so fun. Their exhibition called My Name is Palestine.
I believe so, yes.
And that was a collaboration between AMP, which is Leah Tawil's arts organization that's primarily like music and performance.
Yes.
A collaboration between them, SOEX, obviously, and the, I think, the Palestine Museum in Bir Zeit in the West Bank. And it was a series of like historical footage and sound music. It was beautiful. It was basically a screening.
Yes.
And then the closing was a performance, which, you know, I walked in that room thinking that like people would still be mingling and gabbing. I came at like 6:20. It wasn't even that late. It started at 6:00. And the performance was just ending. It started on time. I was like, who starts performances on time? I was like, so surprised. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what I mean.
20 minutes?
I mean, I was late, but I assumed there'd be like a 15-minute kind of like...
I was even later than you.
No, you weren't.
Oh, yeah. You were there by the time I got there.
No, I think I saw you.
Yeah, we saw each other.
I don't know. I missed the performance. Naka Dance Theater. It was two people under what looked like plastic film, like maybe from a construction site. There was some tension. I really got like the last 2 minutes and I was very upset about that because, you know me, I like to go see the performance for sure.
Uh-huh. Well, but then we saw the music performance.
We saw a music performance.
What was that about?
That was, so I forgot the name of the drum. It was a drum player and an oud player and they were playing... I think traditional, not traditional, but song, like recognizable songs from Palestine.
Oud, can you describe that?
Oud is a string instrument.
It looks kind of like a guitar.
It looks like a guitar. It's all wood. It's got a really round body, like I forgot what that part is called on a guitar.
The body.
It's like a big, big belly almost. It's huge. So it, you know, moves sound in a different way or in a unique way.
And
I guess.
Like got like 6,000 strings on it.
Does it have 6,000 strings?
It's got a lot of strings.
It has a lot of strings. It's a beautiful instrument. It feels like a very sad instrument. Like the sound is very melancholy to me.
Yeah.
And also the way, like the music in general, the way it's played. And it's beautiful.
The guy was singing. It was kind of jazzy because the drummer got a solo.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That's funny. I like that you said that. And then after that, the guy who was playing the oud is also, his name is Wael. I can't remember his last name. Is also, I think, the artistic director of Debka Dance Company based out of the Bay Area. And so we all learned a little bit of Debka, which is very cute. It's like one of those sort of more traditional, like you hold your hands in a circle and you go around, and people who are really good can like
they jump and
there's
swirl.
Jumping. Yeah, they can really embellish. So, but there's like the basic stuff that we all learn that, you know, everyone is like just trying to keep rhythm and remember which way to go, front or back. But once you get familiar with that stuff, then you can add embellishments like jumping and kicking and like slapping the floor and stuff like that.
Yeah. Going really down low.
Yeah.
And up high.
Yeah.
I was like, RIP to your feet, everyone who was beside me.
Oh, we were dancing together.
Yes. Thank God.
That was fun.
Yeah. Good to have people you know so you can stomp on
them. You stomp on them. I think I stomped on you once.
Yeah, but that was my fault.
I don't think so.
I think I was all, my feet were just everywhere. It's a 6-beat step where you're doing one in front, one in back, then a little swivel step, toe-toe.
Oh, look at you remembering. Or you can do in front, step, toe-toe was the basic. And yes. Then it was like in front, step, behind, step, and then toe-toe.
When it was working for me, it felt great.
Yeah.
It felt really good. Yeah. And it was also Val Imus's last hurrah, kind of.
Yeah.
Although she's going to be around.
At the end of the event, one of the other staff members who's been there for a bit was announcing their departure, I think, for grad school.
Yes.
And so as part of their departure, they also said that Val would be staying on longer to help the sort of transition. So it sounds like Val will be there a bit longer with Julio, who I haven't seen at any of the events so far.
Morales.
Yeah, who's the new director.
What was he up to for the last while?
He was in Arizona, I think, teaching at ASU.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on back to the Bay.
I'm sure he's thrilled to be back.
We don't get people back that often.
Yeah, his wife is the, I think, a deputy director or director at SFO Museum.
Oh.
And then they have a kid who maybe is like almost high school age or high school age.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, so I give that event a 10 out of 10.
Cute. I give it a shining sun.
Oh, gay sun.
Totally gay sun.
Wow.
That's fine. Okay. Everyone working it out.
Oh, I swapped my stance there. I was on the side of the sun being straight.
Oh, yeah, because you were, well, I thought we discussed that yesterday.
We did. Well, we discussed it in the last episode.
Because you were like, well, you and I discussed it yesterday.
What did we say?
You were like, the sun is like a straight, bright light from above. And I argued that it was also a light source that dimmed and flickered. And
it moves across the
positions.
Sky.
And, you know, it's not like this set. I don't think it's a set position, a set thing. At least we don't experience that way. It itself kind of is, but we don't experience that way, which I feel like is important to consider.
I think that the listeners were on your side.
Did we get feedback?
Yes.
Oh.
They're mad at me.
You love having people mad at you, don't you?
It no.
really gives you something to work on. It gives you something to agonize about.
Yes, exactly.
I think, do you feel like you're someone who like needs to kind of, not that you want to, but you sort of, there's like a need to agonize a little bit over things?
To get like some negative attention.
Whatever it is. Like I feel like there are some people who just always sort of need this, like some kind of strife or struggle. I don't think they want it, but they almost like seek it out. And maybe it's not something you would be able to recognize. That's part of like all of the work we're doing with our own therapists, like recognizing our patterns and breaking them. Do you feel you're that?
Well, I have. Okay. So we're recording this on Saturday the 6th, and after this recording, I have to go to Santa Rosa for an opening that I'm having.
At
Le Shed, which is a gallery in a shed in a backyard.
So cool.
In Santa Rosa. And I have to tell you, I have anxiety about this opening like I haven't had in years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Why is that? Just because it's an unknown, the unknown of Santa Rosa?
I think I'm just out of practice with openings where it's a solo show. Mm-hmm. Like I had my et al show, but this is like home turf where I know exactly where I can hide.
Yeah. And there were also other shows opening.
Right, exactly.
Like it was you had a solo show, but there were other
there
people
were other
here
shows.
For,
it was easy to blend in.
Yeah.
I thought I was done with this kind of opening.
What will
anxiety.
You do? Will you wear sunglasses the whole night?
Yes, it's outside, so it would be easy to wear sunglasses.
Are you going to try to disguise yourself? Will you wear a long trench coat?
No, it's going to be so hot.
Will you wear a long beach wrap?
I could just wear a niqab or whatever.
You don't need to wear a whole thing. That's too hot.
That would be a lot. That would be a lot. I have no advice for listeners who might be going through the same thing because I'm not handling it well.
Who do you, is Katie going?
Yes.
Okay.
I have friends going. And all the people there will be I mean, it's all friendly people. It's Not anybody scary.
I know, but there's good to have like the people that you are like your.
I can look them in the eyes like, and they'll know that I'm dying inside.
And they'll say, why don't you take a step outside for a minute?
Yeah. I'm going to have to bleep that.
Why?
It's my family. Because
Marianne's listening?
She might be.
Marianne, listen, notes from me.
I'm going to cut all this. No one can know I.
Rude. That's not fair. I can't talk shit about you on the podcast. You talk shit about me all the time.
Just choose another topic to shit talk.
No, that's the best one.
Ugh, God damn it, Maysoon. Barf.
Ew.
I'm going to barf from anxiety.
No.
Yeah.
Aw. Can you take any natural medicines?
Or do some box breathing?
Oh, yeah. Should we do box breathing together?
No.
Do you do four counts or how many counts do you do with your box breath?
Like 4-8.
4-8?
4-8,
inhale 4, exhale 8?
Yeah.
I also recently learned, I forgot what it's called, but a new breath that's for anxiety.
Yes, please.
Is it anxiety or stress or something? It's where you do like two like quick breaths. Oh, yeah. Like that, where you're almost like, and then you do scared. A slow exhale.
Okay, let's do that.
Ready? So one,
in
two.
Through the nose, out through the mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
I did three. Wait, start over. Okay,
so it's like,
ready?
It's two, but you want to make sure you're also in.
And then how many do we breathe out?
I don't think there was a number of time to breathe out. But
okay, is this going to make me die?
No, I'll tell you
okay,
about it.
Okay, ready?
Afterwards.
And go.
Okay, so that one is supposed to mimic, imagine a baby crying, and when they stop to cry, they're like their body's still kind of spasming as they're trying to get their self back
in.
Together.
Yes. Do you remember crying like this as a child? Where you were like crying so much you could barely catch your breath?
Yeah, and so there's like you're settling down, but you're still like, you're still kind of like, you know, doing this weird thing as you kind of get back to yourself. And that's like my acupuncturist is saying that's like I forgot the language, but it's basically like your body's way of telling you like it's okay.
Cute.
Which I was like, okay, great. We all need that.
Absolutely.
There's so many different kinds of breathing techniques.
Well, I told you about going to that breath work thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, where the
with
tiny
your
woman.
Or your therapist sent you, didn't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that.
Maysoon, is it time to start exploring psychedelic therapy?
For you,
I don't think I'm
so.
At that level.
I don't think so.
No. And I don't know if I'll ever be.
I
don't
want to
chance
no
it. Let's not
one.
Chance it. My psychiatrist would be not stoked on that.
Do you feel like you have an addictive personality type? Okay, so then no.
Well, but psychedelics aren't that triggering of that kind of thing.
They're not?
Not for me.
I would still say no.
Isn't there a thing also with LSD where there's like reverse tolerance where the more you do it, the less you need to get the effect?
I don't know.
Don't quote me on that, people. I'll put a link in the underworld as to whether that's true.
I kind of feel like, so. Isn't it with, well, so reverse tolerance is interesting, but I feel like for so many drugs, like the more you do.
The more you need.
The more you need because you're just so used, you know, you've built your tolerance up.
Right.
And that's why so many folks not. I feel like you hear about, I know people who have gone into like drug rehab and have spent like, are doing okay. And then they go back to their drug and they have an OD because they think they can still withstand
their. Yes, it's called the abstinence violation effect.
Oh, like you're violating the not doing drugs.
Because you, it's a whole thing. I'm into kind of like 12-step apostates.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who like have, I don't know. I was in, we don't need to get into it.
I want to say don't do drugs, but I also don't want to. I feel like, I don't know. Just be careful.
Just be careful, guys.
Yeah. Know what you're doing. Know your source.
Have a friend.
You know what I mean? Also,
you know,
have a friend
source,
for sure.
Have a friend. Vote for people that want to decriminalize drugs. Oh, this fucking city.
I know. Just the same thing I was thinking. Oh, my God. This fucking city.
Making it hard to be human.
Yeah. Treating people like fucking criminals.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's terrible.
I saw some folks in front of et al. Yesterday that I think were trying to get some people into the reset center that they have now.
Oh, yeah. There was one right over. There was a group when I walked by that was right in front of climate control.
Just now?
No. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a new look, but okay.
Yep.
So there was a group that approached them and was trying to
give them
some services.
Well,
was it like a
No, I think they were city workers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whoever sends out the like public health folks around.
Yeah, they're city agencies, but there's also probably nonprofits
private
that they work with.
Whatever they are. They got this reset center now where it's basically like jail.
Yeah. Oh, they were trying to move them to that?
I have no evidence of that, but I just assumed. Okay. So that's a bummer.
And the people are probably like, no thanks.
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to go to jail. We'll just hang out on the street.
I'm going
to
put 4,000 studies in the underworld about how the only thing that actually helps in the opioid crisis is having safe injection facilities where people have access to information and help to get into treatment if they want, but they also have access to like harm reduction, clean needles and like things like that.
Does that help actually get people off drugs? Or I guess, you know what I mean? Like I do think safe injection sites are obviously, we need that for sure.
Yeah.
But does that actually somehow lead to the next step of like getting off or taking advantage help. Of the services and help yeah. and stuff? Yeah.
I think so. I'll put a bunch of links in the underworld. They did a bunch of studies in Canada where they had these sites around and I think people did have better, I mean, definitely had better outcomes than going to jail.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Okay, well, that's a downer.
back to the art world.
Okay, what else is going on? Jesus Christ. I went to a protest.
Oh, good.
I went to the protest that happened over there at Gap headquarters on Tuesday.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know you went to that. Cool.
And I heard about it through the Bay Area Artists Connect.
Yeah.
The group that is...
they've been meeting on Sundays at the lab.
Yeah, once a month.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's always going to be at the lab.
I see.
Jesus. If people want to get in touch with them, I believe the email is bayareaartistconnect@proton.me. And you can email and get all the info of when they're going to meet and stuff like that. Because they don't post it. Mm-hmm. You have to like get on
the list, the email list. Mm-hmm. And so that protest was in front of the Gap headquarters downtown.
Because they were having this like convention thing called Idea SF.
Right.
Which was about like arts and culture kind of stuff. But it was like executives from Google and
right.
and all these weirdo places. Actually, I have a little information.
Good.
So Idea SF Forum 2026 is asking the question, what if culture were infrastructure? And this was at Gap headquarters with executives from McKinsey, Google, Salesforce, and SF MoMA.
Right.
And guess how much it costs to go to this?
A couple hundred dollars a ticket.
$495.
Great.
Isn't that nasty? I know there were some journalists there, too. So
was there anyone from the city there?
I don't know, because we didn't have tickets, so we were just outside trying to hand out information.
400, whatever. It's insane.
We were handing out flyers. Aaron Wojak brought this huge sign that he was, like, sign spinning.
I know. I saw a video of that this week.
That was really good.
So great.
That was really, really good. And it wasn't a big turnout, but it was nice to see some people there. And
yeah.
Lindsay White with her giant sign that says the SF art scene is collapsing or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like the Lorax. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's going to be the last one standing.
I love it. Thank God she came back.
Yeah, really.
Well, how were people that were going to this conference responding to you? Was there curiosity? Was there conversation? Were they like hiding their faces in shame?
Kind of like,
what were they doing?
I got there probably like 20 minutes after it started, or 20 minutes 15 late. Minutes after it started, and the people that we were handing flyers to, like the best response we got was kind of like a friendly like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, okay.
And then quickly going
no
inside.
One wanted to talk to you guys.
Nobody talked to me. Nobody would even take a damn flyer from me. Aaron was so good at flyering. Aaron Wojak.
Yeah.
And
he's a white guy.
You think that's what it is?
I don't know.
Because I would just be kind of like.
I mean, Aaron, you're the best, but.
He was really good at it. He was just like.
Maybe was he just being really gregarious?
He was just like, he'd just say Idea SF. And it seemed like he was like an official.
He was working. Yeah.
and then people would take it.
That would be a good approach next time, to dress up as like the officials with like lanyards.
Yes.
And then like hand them their like registration form with all this other information that completely confuses them.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. But for the most part, people ignored us and just like didn't make eye contact and then just rushed inside.
Their $500 tickets. Like, what in the world? Who was putting that on?
Fancy people. The Gap.
The Gap was hosting that. From what I understand. The Gap needs to make that much more money.
Oh, you mean for the tickets and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they were so expensive.
You know, the Gap was the number one corporation that would have been taxed with this Prop D billionaire tax. The pay gap between the top paid and the lower paid is
like
huge.
1,000% or something.
Huge.
Yeah.
The Gap. Nasty. They also run San Francisco.
Yes, they do.
It's weird, huh? I can't help but think about like the project you did at SF MoMA and how the Fisher family is all over that shit. It's just like, oof.
Oh, yeah. They were the
leaders. Yeah.
Should we play a funeral dirge?
Whose funeral? Yours? Ours?
Our peace of mind.
Our peace of mind.
Okay,
let's stop with those.
I have a positive note. Okay, ready?
Yeah, go.
Last night, Katie, research
Last
assistant.
Last night I had the strangest dream I ever had before. Okay, go ahead. It's an old union. It's like a union song that I sang in camp when I was a kid.
You went to camp?
I went to camp. We went to a commie camp called
Where?
Circle Pines.
Shut the front door.
Oh, yeah. In Michigan, right? We had a little lake. There was a little sauna off the lake. We all had to do work projects during the day.
Like growing beans or something?
Like everyone would have some kind of project. Like for a week, I would do kitchen duty where I would help make food for lunch or something, or... You might do some, like there was a garden, so maybe you were like helping to grow plants, or it was communist. It was hippie. It was amazing. I learned how to do enamel ceramics or enamel things, because there are all these like little, you know how camp is, there's projects.
I never went to camp.
You never went to camp?
No.
Oh, there's all sorts of fun things going on in camp.
Well, that's a lie. I went to sixth grade camp where for a week as a class, we went and stayed at a camp.
No.
Called Camp Mishindo, because it was where Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio kind of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It seemed really Christian. Oh. I think we would pray before we would eat.
I actually have the songbook still. I have it in like my records from Circle Pines Camp, and it's all like the most communist songs you could imagine, like hippie communists, like... Pete Seeger, there's like songs about union work. There's song. It's like, it's amazing.
Well, that sucks.
It was.
I want to go.
This is what happens when you grow up with like very politicized parents.
Damn. Yeah, I'm reading. Fun. Okay, here's another thing that happened. Dynasty Handbag came through and did
a
week or two ago.
How do I miss them all the time? And such did a bummer. Hey, can you tell me next time they're in?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Well, no, what do they do? Did you go see the show? Was it a show?
Okay, so Jibs Cameron, aka Dynasty Handbag, has a new memoir out. Mm-hmm. And so she did some readings from her memoir. This was at the lab, by the way.
Sure.
And she did readings punctuated with performances, mainly like song performances.
Perfect for your vibe right now.
Yeah. And one of my favorites of hers is It's So Hard to Be Avant-Garde.
So good.
Once you read her book, like it all clicks into place. All her weird performance stuff has these like traumatic roots in her life. And
are you reading it?
There's one that's called song she does is it's about like being a little kid and like being exposed to someone's house who's like really clean and organized and like rich basically. Mm-hmm. And being like, I want to come live with you.
People are shooting each other in the face in my house. They get thrown into the compost pile at my house.
Wow. Which is funny to say, mm-hmm. but then you read the book and you're like, well, oh, that's not too far from the truth.
They were actually almost about doing that.
Yep. So I give it the performance was a 10 out of 10, as hers always are.
Yeah.
And then the book, I'm reading the book and I really recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah. It's from, I think, a press called Fabulosa Press or something like nice. That I think is based here. So that's neat.
I remember, sorry if I can just tell a story, another story.
Yes,
as a
please.
Kid,
yes.
I was really self-conscious. Does that might not be the right word? I was really kind of embarrassed by the fact that in our kitchen, we didn't have matching plates, like plateware.
Uh-huh.
Like it was, everything was, every piece of plate was different.
Yeah.
And our silverware, everything was different. And I felt really like embarrassed by that for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And it's so interesting to think about that now, because now I'm like, our house is like that now.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm yeah. like, every piece has like a very specific feeling, memory, something.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think it's like, it must have been like a, like those of us who grew up in chaotic households, like some semblance of like wanting control or normalcy, yeah. you know, that like it weird. It's weird how it manifests in our little brains as children.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's, I mean, just made that story about Dynasty Handbag made me think about that.
Did you have a favorite spoon?
As a kid?
Yeah.
No, I was not thinking about that.
You were just like, I wish these were all the same.
I just was like, why can't we just have things be normal?
Yeah,
for sure. For some reason, I don't know why I thought having everything be the same was normal. I mean, maybe the only place I saw that would be like my grandparents' house.
Okay.
But like, did you guys have sets of dishes? Is that actually normal or is that just my weird little Chicago
brain? I'm trying to think. I barely remember this.
I don't know if my friends had that.
We definitely had some different silverware because I had a favorite spoon.
Mm. I have favorites now.
Yeah.
For sure. I go through phases with our silverware.
Somehow our silverware disappears at my house.
Where you are now?
Yeah.
Katie's taking it to work.
She works from home.
Katie, what are you doing with the silverware?
It's definitely my fault.
You're taking it to the studio.
I'm hiding it. I'm bringing it. Who knows where these things
Look,
are?
Look, here's a fork
up.
Now.
Oh my God, they're coming to the gallery. Okay, so I saw that Dynasty Handbag stuff. People run, don't walk next time she's in town. Oh, last night, research assistant Katie Kondo and I went and saw the Boots Riley movie, I Love Boosters,
yes.
for the second time.
Oh.
And I have to say, you got to see it minimum two times.
Two times. Okay.
Because it's just so good.
It's so good.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Yeah.
Jimmy and I saw it the opening weekend. So I think Hell we saw yeah, it on Memorial too. Day on Monday over Sick. At the Balboa Theater. And I loved the music. I just loved everything
oh, God.
About it.
I got to play that song.
Music was so fucking good. I was like, who's this? I want to hear this all the time. Just like everything about it. The actors were amazing. That their characters were so incredible. I do, my only criticism for him, and I don't know how to even, like the part where it becomes like.
Okay, spoilers.
Oh, where it becomes
if
like.
If anybody wants to skip, you probably got to skip far.
It becomes so like directly political. Where yes. I just feel like it's such a break from like. The style of movie making the first half is, I just feel like it falls flat. Like I agree with everything he's saying, but I wish he could figure out how to make that message. I wish he could find a way to, I guess, more cleanly tie it into his characters, into the story plot, because I feel like it loses its strength. The movie kind of drops down for me in that moment, even though I agree with what he's saying.
Okay, when are we talking about here? Are we talking about, okay, so the story of the movie, you got to go see the movie.
It's
so just
so good.
Turn off the podcast, go see the movie, and then come back. So the story of the movie is the main character is Corvette, who's played by Kiki Palmer. And
she's amazing.
She and her friends are boosters where they go.
And a booster is a shoplifter.
Yes. They go shoplift clothes and then sell them for cheap.
On the street. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, a lot of twists and turns happen. Yeah. And they get accidentally because Kiki Palmer is not really trying to be a political figure. No, she's just trying to
make a living.
Yeah, live her life. And she's also an aspiring fashion designer. And there's this like big deal fashion designer played by
Demi Moore.
Yes.
And, so funny.
And she's like the bane of their existence, trying to snuff them out.
Well, it's weird because it's like she's the bane of their existence, but she's also like Kiki's kind of hero.
Yes.
You know, so it's like this twofold. And there's a point in the movie where it appears that she stole Kiki's like original idea, you know, which is, these are things we see in our world for sure.
And then Kiki Palmer's character kind of goes on a revenge tear.
Yeah.
To go shut down everything. And they meet up with a person who works in a factory that is Demi Moore's, like, you know, fashion factory, whatever you call
it. In China.
In China. And
it's so wild.
All this crazy shit.
I loved
they
all
have
that.
A teleporter.
Yeah, they're teleporting like activists from China back into the States, and they're like fighting, you know.
Yes,
fighting
they're fighting to have better wages in the factories. And then meanwhile, stateside, there's also the retail workers are trying to organize, and they're kind of begging Kiki Palmer and her friends to help.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, look, we're just trying to do our thing. We're not trying to like lead a revolution. But then by the end of the movie, it all comes together. And Kiki Palmer's character had been struggling with being like super feeling really lonely and isolated. And that was kind of her conflict for most of the movie. And then by the end, she looks around and there's all these people like working together as a community. And I think she kind of gets inspired to like feel less alone.
Yeah.
So I thought the first time I saw the movie, I think everything was so crazy. It was hard for me to even follow.
Yeah.
And so the second time it was more like, because there's one character who's the person, Violetta, who they work with at the Metro Design.
Yeah.
And she's the one trying to organize.
She's like the activist.
The
union. She's great.
But she's like smoking the, or like vaping weed like
constantly.
So hard, and then going into these like lectures on dialectical materialism, which they have this machine that basically is doing like Marxist like thesis, antithesis, synthesis like thing where you see that happening.
It's pretty amazing. That scene was amazing.
Yeah,
alone.
But like I think I needed to see it a second time to be able to follow the Marxist stuff, because that shit was like, that was a lot to take in. Meanwhile, there's also demons.
Like, I mean maybe that's part of it. Like, I feel like, was there too much going on?
I mean, that's kind of Boots Riley's whole thing.
I know, but I feel like he's also trying to get a message out there.
For
and
sure.
I feel I mean, like, right. And I feel like if there's a little, I am such a believer in him and his movies and his politics.
Yeah.
I just want it to be like, I want it to be, I don't want it to be mainstream. I want the mainstream to like get it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like when there's too much going on, people are like, this is just a lot of fun. Yay. You know, like, like it's kind of like, is the message lost, you know? Like for you and I, maybe it's not, because we're like, we know Boots. We understand what's going on. We're like watching closely.
Movies.
Yeah. But I mean, I loved the movie for sure. But I was just sort of like, oh, I just want Boots to like, I just want it to be something that like more people will watch.
That will really turn on.
Yes.
Turn on, tune in, drop out.
Well, I'm not going to use that for terminology, honestly, but that will activate and motivate people.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I mean, I do think the whole, like the weird demon, like it's just like there's so many wild, I mean, it's great. It's so many wild parts in it.
People had a lot of criticism about Lakeith Stanfield's character being in there. Like, why does she need a man to kind of move her story forward? But I felt like that was kind of like showing how
she doesn't need a man.
Men can try to derail women in their progress.
Yeah.
And she resisted that and kind of stood her ground.
And, or just like, you know, knew what she needed and wanted for herself.
Yeah.
And wasn't going to.
Yeah. And didn't fall for his.
Yeah.
Whatever his deal was.
I mean, it was sort of like another, like it was another, like again, like so many different messages.
Uh-huh.
Which I feel like they're all good messages, but I'm like, I just wish there could be a little bit, I want it to be a tiny bit more honed in, like a little bit more.
The costumes were incredible.
The color, like, what's
the use of color.
man, I was like, I want to live in that world.
Yes.
Can I hang out with you guys?
For real.
So also, cartoony. Like Corvette, like living in like an old chicken shop. Yeah. It's like she's like squatting in an old chicken like restaurant. It's amazing. There were just so many, like the details were so like so on point. Yeah. You know?
Really, really good.
Oh my God.
See it again, folks. If you saw it already, give it another look.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Go to a theater too, because it's really like such a treat for the eyes, for
sure.
Support
the theaters.
Go to local theaters.
And for all you know, Boots will be there in your theater.
If you're maybe, yeah. Where's he going? Does he go to, what is he, Grand Lake? Where
Grand
is he?
Lake, baby.
Grand Lake. Someday I will have to go to like an Oakland-based movie at the Grand Lake, because
it's like
I feel
nothing.
Like I
it's
hear
like nothing else.
So many incredible stories of how people just like, just the energy from the audience is so fucking cool.
So
hearing.
Good. I saw Fruitvale Station on opening
exactly.
night, and
yeah.
wow.
I bet you Black Panther was going on. It was like amazing.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
I saw
mean?
That
like,
one too.
So I know that there's so many movies that are like Oakland actors about Oakland, like just whatever that were. That
Oakland
theater.
Turns out when there's an Oakland movie.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, we all do, but just the San
no,
Francisco
Oakland
is a
does
different.
Better than.
No, of course.
Anyone,
I'm just saying, like,
anywhere.
We also show up to the movies, but it's just not. San Francisco is a little hell right now.
I'm believing that. I'm believing that. Okay, final score for I Love Boosters, the new Boots Riley movie. And I'm going to go ahead and give it an absolute 11 out of 10.
Ooh,
I loved it so
wow.
much. I love Boots Riley.
You had no critic, no tiny ounce of feedback or critical.
Well,
as a movie, a viewing experience, a yeah. messaging, you know, platform.
It would have been an absolute 12 out of 10 if we didn't have the part I don't understand. Now, this spoiler again here, beep. Beep. Okay, so throughout the movie, they're looking for these $100,000 suits, and they're never finding them. They're like nowhere yeah. to be found. And then finally, they realize that they're skin suits that these like weird, I
it's
don't even
so
know, Illuminati,
wild.
Like
it's so wild,
are wearing. And then they take off their, they steal their skin suits basically. And then the skinless muscle people are chasing them.
It's just like, it goes off the rails to me a little bit in that one.
I just can't handle the skinless people. It was
well,
hard to look at.
All of a sudden like CGI.
No, they were like claymation.
Were they?
I think so. Yeah. I think that was like practical animation.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
Oops, sorry. It just got like to this height of absurdity, which I think is actually where we are in our world. Like we have seen so much atrocity and craziness that it's just like, how in the world is this happening? And I think Boots must be playing with that, right? Like the absurdity of how sickening everything gets,
yes.
you know? Yeah, but I think it's like maybe it's too easy for it to be like funny and weird versus like absurd and dark. I don't know, maybe it's both.
Yeah,
anyhow.
Interesting. Okay, so
yeah,
I'm ready
really
for your score.
My score for that movie.
I kind of have one of like for your style of score.
Gosh, I my brain is going in a weird way, but I don't think it's quite I feel like it's like I want to say, well, first let me just give you my thought process for a second.
Yes,
you can
please.
Help me phone it in. I initially was thinking like Being on BART and through the tunnel, where the tunnel is like extra long, but that kind of sounds scary. And I don't mean for it to sound scary. I think it's more of like, and then I go to like a carnival ride that's kind of askew. But it's also not scary.
Okay.
It's just kind of like you are going for a fucking ride, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe like a protest that's at a carnival.
Is that what you were thinking?
I was thinking like one of those giant rainbow lollipops. Okay. But once you eat it, the stick is like a little protest sign.
Oh.
Once you lick through the lollipop, you see that there's a sign underneath that says like solidarity forever.
That's not quite right for me. Okay. How about this? A rainbow over the ocean. You are seeing a rainbow over the ocean and all of a sudden you're underwater seeing the rainbow.
Whoa, girl. I thought like a sea monster was going to pop out.
I was thinking like you were this and then you were literally upside down in the water looking up.
Whoa.
Is that, but I don't mean it in a scary
all
way.
All these things sound scary, but there, and there were moments in the movie that were kind of freaky.
Well, I just mean like there's so much brightness and amazing moments, but then it, like the undercurrent of this movie is like, get it to fucking together. This yeah. shit is, the world is fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? Like there is this very dark, I think, undercurrent.
Yeah.
On top of this like beautiful, fun, chaotic, what the hell's going on feeling, you know?
For sure. Love it. Love it, Maysoon. I always love your reviews. They're very thoughtful. Very conscientious. Okay, anything else happen that we need to take note of? I finished 100 Years War on Palestine.
Nice.
God damn. I just really
I need to reread it.
Everybody needs to read that book.
Should we do a live reading of it?
Oh my God. Well, that would take quite a long time.
What if we read like a chapter?
One chapter a day?
At a time. Well, no, because couldn't people just listen to the audiobook?
Folks, just listen to the audiobook. Is there one? There's got to be.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, there is. I think that's how I started to read it initially. Oh, sure, and then I couldn't do it because it's too much information.
And a lot of names.
And I need it. You know, like when you're reading, you can slow down and go back and like process, take time. With audiobook, I feel like you just keep going. And I found myself constantly being like, wait, what was that? I have to go back. It was annoying. I think audiobooks are really only for like light fiction.
Sure enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where you can kind of...
You can kind of zone out. You don't need every word. You can find your place back in the story if you kind of, you know, lose track.
Yeah, but no, it's... And I just would say it's very readable. It's got great pacing. Like I said last time, there's these personal stories where the author's family is involved. Yeah. And it's very grounding and puts it in like this like lived in kind of thing. I just can't recommend it enough. It made me feel so much more like I felt like re-galvanized or something. Like I just felt like the cause of Palestinian liberation, it's like so clear that it is like one of the most important things you can stand for, and you should mm-hmm. stand 10 toes down mm-hmm. because there is absolutely no reason things should be the way they are. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think if everybody really like looked this history square in the face, they would be out there.
Right.
Like nobody would be holding back in their support for Palestine.
Yeah. How do we get people to read it?
If you read it, we'll give you 100 congratulations pine tree points.
Which will lead to something eventually.
Yeah.
Do we need to have a book? Do we need to have a book club?
I would love to have a book club.
But you already read it.
I sure did.
I wonder if there's a Palestine book club.
There's got to be.
There must be.
I'll keep you updated. Let's I feel like I that. Hear about stuff Do like you? That. I'm always seeing stuff out there. Oh, there's a thing coming up that we all need to go to at the lab that's being put on by Mama Ganoush.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Judith Butler is going
to
be there.
Oh, I want to go to that.
Handle Great. That. Okay, now
Mama
when
Ganoush
is it?
Is the best.
It's at the lab, and when is it? And what is it called? Fuck.
What are all of the things?
Okay, here we go. I got it. It is, and it's being put on by Sad Francisco. Do you ever watch Sad Francisco?
I love him. Yeah.
So
I almost, we were going to try to do a panel, and he was like on our list of potential panelists.
At the Arts Commission?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
He's fucking smart.
Oh,
he's
so
amazing.
Good.
I love watching so his good. Videos.
So they're putting it on. It's called Queers Against Zionism.
Oh, amazing.
And it is going to be
at the lab. Go lab.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. And that's going to be on Thursday, June 25th from 6 to 10.
I'm there.
Okay. Get your tickets because I'm sure they're moving fast.
Do we have to get tickets for it?
I already got some tickets, but they're all spoken for, sadly. Sorry, Maysoon.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for thinking of me, Kate. Once again.
I assumed you would already be on it. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and leave it there. Maysoon and I are going to continue this episode off mic. And we're going to go ahead and say
Free Palestine.
And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.